This morning we're continuing our study about being diligent in all things with the focus of this morning's study to be on faithfulness. Can we be diligent without being faithful, or can you be faithful without being diligent? Those two things are going to go together. In fact, we're going to see how the Lord uses both of those words together in teaching us what we need to be like. So this is one aspect of being diligent in all things, that we will be faithful. Well, if we are diligent in everything, we're going to be faithful in all things. And that is something that the Lord does require of us. As we have already seen in this study, the Lord does require diligence. We have to diligently seek Him in order to be rewarded by Him. If we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at verses 1 through 4, this is a necessary principle for us to understand, because it's describing who we are and what we are in terms of being under God and His authority. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 through 4, he says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." So he uses that word steward there in verse 1. As the apostle Paul, being an apostle, and here was one who was an apostle of Christ, and was the one that the Lord gave such abundance of revelation to. I mean, when we add up the books, I mean, we know that he was inspired to write 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. So more than any other individual, the Lord worked through Paul, inspiring the words that we have of the New Testament, of the Word of Christ, and of the spreading of the gospel in the first century. Who labored more abundantly than Paul, and who did the Lord use more than the Apostle Paul in all of that? So when we look at Paul, I mean, we're looking at certainly in Christianity, we are looking at one of the great pillars in the church. Yet he said that he was a minister of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. So Paul, in all that he was a steward and a servant in the end, just as we all are. What did Paul have that was his own? Or what do we have that is our own? So that's where we begin to understand this word steward. Everything that we have is given to us of God. Paul's abilities, Paul's opportunities, and all that God gave him to do, it was all from the Lord. Paul's job and what was necessary for him to do was to be faithful as a steward, and which is what he says next in verse 2. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So Paul was a steward. We all are. And what is required by God of all of us as stewards is that we be found faithful. And he says, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." And Paul was being regularly judged, condemned by his own brethren, even the ones that he had converted to Christ. And this was a particular problem in Corinth, as they were being, many of them were being deceived and misled by false apostles that were in their midst. This is a particular topic that gets much attention in both 1st and 2nd Corinthians. As he is addressing this particular point here in 1st Corinthians chapter 4, we can see that he is speaking about these ones who were judging him. But in the end, we are all stewards. God has given to us, put into our hands, certain abilities and opportunities and things. And who's going to be the one to judge us in our stewardship? The one and only the one who has entrusted us with whatever it is he has given to us, which includes everything that we have. In fact, he's going to go on to point out when you get down to verses 6 and 7, there's nothing that we have that we didn't receive of him. That's why we're stewards, and nothing more than that. But it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And which of us can judge any other one of us in our stewardship to know exactly what God has given to us and how we have dealt with all of those things? I mean, we do know, and we should know more and more of each other in our hearts. But in the end, there's only one being that is going to be in the position worthy of judging us on these matters of our stewardship and our faithfulness. But that's what he requires. We are stewards, and it is required that we be found faithful. This is a principle that is also taught by Christ in the parable that he teaches in Luke chapter 16, where we want to go and look at verses 1 through 12. And this is referred to very often as the parable of the unrighteous steward. And there is an unrighteous steward that is the focus of this parable, but we need to look at what Christ teaches about this. So in Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 1, he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. So here was one who was being accused of not being faithful as a steward. Now, who was the one that was in the position to judge the steward? This Lord that had put his goods in his hands. So in verse 2, it says, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said unto himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, if we stopped at verse 9, and we didn't read anything else in Luke 16 or anywhere else in the Bible, we might get the mistaken idea that the Lord is encouraging us to go ahead and be unfaithful and make friends with other unrighteous people so that in the end we'll have someone to share our eternity with. He's not encouraging us to be like that. He is pointing out this was a steward who was unfaithful, but the steward in the end found a way to make it to when he was put out of the stewardship, he would have some place to go, where he wouldn't have to dig and he wouldn't have to beg. He was commended for this by his Lord in that he had done wisely in making a way for him to have a place to go when his stewardship was taken away. But this wasn't good for him to be unrighteous as a steward. And the point in verse 9 is, if we're going to not serve the Lord, he says to go ahead and make friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, that's interesting. What's happening with the ones that go, and he's talking about the everlasting habitations, the ones that leave this life and go on. I mean, and later in this very chapter that he goes on to teach about Lazarus, this one who was righteous, but he was a beggar in this life, and a man who was very wealthy, who was unrighteous. And when he died, where did he go? Now, Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, in that place that we know of as paradise, where it is separated from the other side of the unseen world, Hades, by that great gulf. And the rich man who no longer was wealthy when he died, he left all that behind, And he went to eternity with this stopover, at least until this world comes to an end, in this other part of the unseen world where he was tormented. He was concerned about his five brothers that were left on the earth. He knew they were living their lives as he did. They were wicked also, and he didn't want them to end up where he was. But that's where they were headed. It's interesting to see this description, though, in this context. There are certain ones that, does it make a difference if you're going to be in the ones that are in torment? As we know, ultimately, they're going to spend their eternity in Gehenna, that lake of fire, hell, where all of the wicked will be. Does it make a difference whether you have anyone to share that misery with for all eternity? Well, according to what the Lord says, yes. Now, is that going to remove someone from being there? No. Does that make it worth it to be there if you've got several bunch of buddies around in the lake with you? That's not going to make it worth it to be there for sure. But the way the Lord's teaching that, it's better to be there with somebody that's going to share it with you than to have no one to commiserate with for eternity. But he's not encouraging anyone to be unrighteous in their stewardship. But those that are not serving the Lord, that's what they're doing. And in that case, you might as well prepare for what's to come if you're not going to be faithful. But what does the Lord teach us that we really should do? Be faithful as a steward. So in verse 10, he says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" Well, those are very good questions. Those are eternally important questions that he's asking. And with those questions, he's teaching us what we need to be like. And who's the ultimate Lord of all things that we are stewards under? And of course, it's God. And if we've not been faithful in these least things, well, whatever the least things are, who's made a steward over them? Are some things that we have to do in this life more important than other things? Yeah, not everything is the same in weight of importance. Which of those things that we have been given to do, given the ability to do, given the opportunity to do, given the time to do, all those, which of those things do we need to be faithful in? All of them, down to the least things. If we are faithful in the smallest things that the Lord gives us to do, what are we going to be in the big things? If we understand faithfulness and we are diligent in serving the Lord to be faithful down to the very least things, then we're going to be faithful in also the great things. Now, is that important for our eternity? Well, he's asking that question. If we haven't been faithful in these things in this life, who's going to commit to us the true riches? And who's going to give us what is our own? Now, in eternity, the Lord's going to give us work to do. If we're thinking, I can't wait to get out of this life so I can be someplace where I don't have to do any more work. Go back and revisit verse 9. But that's not, if we're going to go to heaven, we're going to be, read Revelation chapter 22, verse 3. His servants will serve him, when he's talking about what we're going to be doing in heaven. Does he tell us the details of all the whatever works we're going to be doing there? No. But we're going to be serving him. Where do we get trained to serve God? Right here. Where do we get trained in faithfulness as stewards and being diligent? Right here. And if we're not diligent here and we're not faithful here, putting us in heaven, is that going to somehow, by going through the pearly gates, going to make us to be faithful and diligent? It's not. This is where we have to be trained to do this. This is where we have to prove and show the Lord that we are worthy, that we're trustworthy of whatever he'll put into our hands and that he will give us to do, that we're going to be faithful in it. What are the true riches? It's what is to come in eternity. And we need to be prepared for that. And whatever way, there's going to be great work that the Lord is going to give us there. Great service for Him, for His glory. This life is very short, very brief. We're trained in these things by the Lord, preparing us for what is the real work to come in eternity, whatever that may be. But we need to be faithful in these least things now so that the Lord will entrust us with those true riches there. So we will be able to be there with Him. This is how important that is. That's what the Lord requires of stewards, that if we be found faithful, and He's demonstrating it and teaching those principles there in Luke chapter 16. We can go back four chapters to Luke 12 and look at verses 42 through 48. This requires our preparation and being ready spiritually, preparing ourselves and following the Lord to do His will. Luke 12, 42 through 48. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season?" Now here the Lord is talking about being prepared for the day of judgment and what is to come in the hereafter. Does it sound like we're going to be doing nothing but resting for eternity and not doing anything for the ages to come in heaven? Verse 42, who is the Lord that's going to make those who are faithful and wise stewards to be rulers over His household? Again, Revelation 22, verse 5 says we will reign with Christ. Christ is the King of Kings, and then we have the privilege of reigning, ruling under His rulership. In eternity. Well, how can we be worthy of that? By being faithful and wise as stewards in this life. And so the question is, who is the Lord going to make ruler over His household? He's going to be making those faithful and wise stewards. So here's faithfulness and stewardship being taught again. Verse 43, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he findeth, shall find so doing." Well, how do we ultimately prove to the Lord that we are faithful and diligent in all things? Well, He's going to come at an hour that we know not. We don't know when what's going to happen on the morrow. We don't know when our life is going to end and how, or whether it's by death or by the Lord coming. But whenever that comes, if the Lord were to come at any moment, if He came right now, if He came this afternoon, He came tonight or tomorrow, how do we make sure that we're not in a position where, like, ooh, I wish He didn't come right now. I wish He'd come maybe a couple hours ago, or maybe a couple hours later. I mean, if we would be ashamed or embarrassed for the Lord, or not ready for the Lord to come at any given moment, that says we've got a problem, doesn't it? What is the solution to the problem? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Doing what? Doing His will. If we're doing His will all the time, then is it going to matter when our end comes? However it comes? Whether it is by death, or whether the Lord comes back while we're still here? It's not going to matter in the sense of our preparedness if we are diligent in all things, faithful in all things, doing His will all the time. We're going to be blessed. If the Lord, in every situation or every moment of time, we need to be doing His will, and then we're going to be ready for His coming. Verse 44, "Of a truth I say unto you that He will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the hypocrite, with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, And to whom men have committed much, of them they will ask the more. So there's stewardship again. And we have to be diligent and faithful as stewards. And we're going to be answering to the Lord for all that he's given to us. And in terms of what we know of our Lord's will and the opportunities to serve him and the spiritual blessings we have been given and all of our growth and what we know and understand and whatever wisdom we have and of the heart of Christ that we have, the Lord has given us much. And we're going to be held accountable for that. He's given us much more than he's given the world. And he requires more of us because of that. He expects and requires more of us. And we must be faithful and diligent in all that we do so that we can be worthy of being made a ruler with his son in eternity. In Matthew chapter 25, we have another great parable, which is known as the parable of the talents. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now we tend to think, when we hear the word talent, we think of the word ability. He's talking about monetary goods there, but he distributed them according to the abilities that each had been given. Where do those abilities come from? Well, that comes from God. So whatever the Lord gives to us according to the ability that he gives to us, and we're not all made exactly the same in those things, but whatever God has blessed us with, we're responsible for. And he's going to give us opportunities in serving him as stewards according to our abilities. What do we have? What does he require of us? Diligence and faithfulness. And it says in verse 16, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So there's that principle from chapter 16 being applied here. He that's faithful in that which is least is going to be faithful in much. And if we're faithful in what the Lord gives us as stewards, then he's going to then entrust us with the true riches. We see that being applied here to the judgment. Verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Now there he uses the word slothful. And we can see where he's judging the ones who were faithful stewards. They were diligent, because the one who is unfaithful is referred to as being slothful. So here's where we see diligence and faithfulness go together, and unfaithfulness and slothfulness go together. You can't be faithful without being diligent and vice versa. And if you're not faithful and you're not going to be diligent and vice versa. And there we can see that plainly in this parable. But the one who had not been a faithful steward, he says, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So in that, and of course it's the next verse all the way to the end of the chapter, where he gives that teaching of what's going to happen on the day of judgment. So he's speaking about our judgment here and how it is going to be based in our stewardship and whether we have been faithful and diligent. The next part to the end of the chapter is going to be applied particularly in our serving one another. But we have to be diligent and faithful in all that the Lord gives to us so that we can be entrusted with those true riches which are to come in eternity. This morning is an opportunity for you now if you have not yet become a child of God. The Lord is giving you this opportunity, and you need to be faithful as a steward of this opportunity the Lord is giving you now to come to him and to be able to be his child by believing in Jesus Christ, his son, and repenting and being baptized in the name of Christ and confessing your faith in him before men. So we're encouraging you to obey the commandments of the Lord at this time to be the Lord's child. If you have, if you are a Christian, if you've not been a diligent and faithful servant of his and as a steward, if you need to repent and come back to him, this is an opportunity for you also. So anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, please come now while we stand together and sing.